I'm Jamie Floyd, and for Brian Lehrer on WMYC and WMYC.org. Over 10 years have passed since President George W. Bush signed the No Child Left Behind Act. That's the federal law mandating that 100% of American students achieve proficiency in math and English by 2014. Education Secretary Arne Duncan has called the law a, quote, slow-motion train wreck. And last week, the Obama administration opened the door for states to bypass the federal requirement. Roughly 38% of public schools in the United States did not meet No Child Left Behind targets last year. And Duncan estimates that as much as 80% would not make the cut this year either. New Jersey is among the states looking at getting a waiver and opting out of the law. And I'm now joined by John Mooney, education writer and co-founder of NJSpotlight.com, to explain what that may look like, as well as talk about the new anti-bullying policy in New Jersey schools and the Newark School District's relationship with the state. Welcome so much, John Mooney.
Hi, Jamie.
We have a lot to talk about this morning. Well, let's start with No Child Left Behind. The Obama administration has made it clear that they don't support many provisions of the law, so that's what the waiver system is about. And Arne Duncan announced that last week. Give us a little bit of the detail, especially in the context of the New Jersey school system.
Well, I think this started to a degree with the race to the top competition of the last couple of years, where they were clearly, the Obama administration was clearly moving towards a different model of accountability than President Bush did under No Child Left Behind. Now, somewhat ironically, New Jersey did not win that award in what was a long saga, but I think the agenda didn't much change under Governor Christie. He has always wanted to push for more accountability of teachers through evaluation, more school choice, a better system of testing that isn't quite the snapshot that became the norm under No Child Left Behind. And I think these are things that a lot of states are already started doing. I think New Jersey wants to join that fray of sorts, and I think that's, you know, the details will come. They haven't actually applied for the waiver yet, but I have a sense that virtually every state's probably going to apply for that waiver unless they think they can get 100% proficiency in the next 2 years.
Yeah, and to be clear, the details won't be released until September. And I suppose states would have to commit to one kind of reform or another, right?
Yeah, and there are a lot of them are moving towards it. I mean, the testing is changing as we speak. There's a couple of consortium that have been working on some standardized testing that are going to be quite different than what we see now in many states, including New Jersey. And it's going to be more. I mean, I think one of the pieces of the framework that New Jersey has joined is there'd be testing throughout the year, so not just in March and to see how kids did, but four times a year. Different kind of testing, though. What they call formative assessments, which are quicker turnarounds, just to see if they learned that lesson type of thing, as opposed to some general skills. So I think testing is changing. I think that's happening already. That mm-hmm. falls into this. There's some new national curriculums called the Common Core Standards, which are starting to emerge. And I think, I mean, if the agenda continues and things change, in your previous discussion with the presidential election, anything can change, you know, given what happens there. But as things stand now, a lot is going to be happening in that 2014-15 span, where you're going to see a bunch of states really making some significant changes, and they're starting to already, especially the race to the top ones.
And John, we want to welcome our New Jersey teachers to call in. There's so much to talk about in the arena of New Jersey education. Our lines are open for New Jersey teachers, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Talk to us about the No Child Left Behind waiver. We're also going to get to the Newark School District shift and the new bullying policies because schools are going to be held a lot more accountable on that as well. 212-433-WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is John Mooney, education writer and co-founder of NJSpotlight.com. And I should mention also that New York State, we are talking about New Jersey, but New York State is also considering taking Arne Duncan up on his offer If Common Core is included, then New York State is in good shape since it's already being implemented here. But, John, is it likely that New Jersey would be interested in accepting another kind of oversight from the Obama administration? You mentioned that in a presidential year, anything can happen. But it sounds as though, most folks would go for the waiver.
Yeah, I do think so. And I think they are openly inviting it. I mean, what has become of federal policy on schools is very much driven along these sort of core issues. And the way they're doing it, and it's proven pretty effective, at least it's beaten back a lot of the critics at the moment, is they're offering money with it. Not so much with NCLB yet, but certainly the race to the top. This was the incentive. We give you a fair amount of money, and you follow our agenda. And they're continuing to do that with turnaround schools. Another piece that we didn't mention is using some specific models to turn around really failing schools. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that through a set of grants that New Jersey's among those who've received. So that, I think that is sort of the direction of federal policy, and states are starting to do it as well. I mean, there's, been talk of different sort of mini race to the top contests in individual states. And if you take this money, we'll give you the money, you give us some reforms that we like. And a lot of them are around teacher accountability, and a lot of them are around changing assessments and things like that.
And just to give our listeners some context, here are some of the numbers on how New Jersey schools have measured up with No Child Left Behind. 51% failed to meet the goals of the law last year. So that's 1,136 schools. And 657 schools did not make the goals 2 years in a row. Now, John, what happens if New Jersey does not opt out?
Well, they're going to be held. I mean, again, I'm wondering if the law will eventually be changed by then. But I think they will be held to the continuing standards that we have now, where they have to get as close to 100%. It's not quite 100. It's not literally every kid because there's so many sort of caveats within it. But, it's a 95%. And they would have, increasingly strict sanctions on schools that fall short. And, again, it's just one category of kid who, that has trouble with this. It's not necessarily the entire school. And it's going to be, given that it's 50% now and the bar is only going up higher and higher each succeeding year, there will be more and more sanctions. Now, some have wondered how strong are these sanctions. It starts with corrective action plans and those kinds of things. Do some more paperwork and tell us you'll improve. They get a little stiffer in terms of allowing children to opt out and go to other schools. But if every other school is also not making AYP, mm-hmm. What are we gaining there? It has, some have, called it a bit of a toothless tiger at this point after 10 years. And that's why you're seeing sort of a rethinking of what exactly we want as a federal role. But if they don't opt out, and I have no doubt that they will seek to, they'll have to continue to live under these rules.
Let's take a call from Lillian. Lillian is calling from here in Manhattan. Lillian, you are on WNYC.
Yes, I think the speaker just touched upon it, but I'd like them to go into it further. The connection between No Child Left Behind and Obama administration push for charter schools.
Yeah, I mean, there is, right now, under No Child Left Behind doesn't touch upon charters a whole lot in its existence, though certainly President Bush was a big fan of them, and there are some incentives in there that would provide openings for families in low-performing schools to be able to go to charter schools or other schools, open up the whole choice option for them, in which they would have anyway. Obama is clearly pushing for charter schools, and that will be, in seeking this waiver, he is asking for schools or states to meet certain criteria in terms of allowing for charter schools. And there's different pieces to that, not having caps, and New York went through this, not having a cap limiting the number of charter schools, having some, accountability measures as part of them as well. They make the argument that lousy charter schools aren't any better than lousy, traditional public schools. So that is certainly a piece of it. And New Jersey is very much thinking along those lines. What we've had, interestingly, here is a bit of a backlash to it. Chris Christie has made a big push for charter schools and approved the largest number ever. for New Jersey last year. But there's been some pushback from specifically suburban districts who say we don't need alternatives. Our schools are doing great. And these are places like, you know, Millburn and Princeton and the like. And so there's been some pushback on that. And so you're seeing the pendulum, you know, sort of swing within the spectrum as we speak. I did a piece today on one of the charter schools that's been held off because of the suburban pushback. They're now going to court over it. So you know, that story is far from over.
Now, I obviously could do an entire segment on No Child Left Behind, but we have so much to tackle. Let's make the turn now to the bullying issue, because there is New Jersey's anti-bullying Bill of Rights, and I understand that school administrators are going to take training sessions to learn about a new protocol for dealing with bullying, and the law also now applies to bullying that happens online and outside of school as well as within the school territory. What will the administrators be learning, John?
Well, I mean, basically this goes back, you know, a little context. It goes back about 10 years, 2002. New Jersey actually was one of the first states to implement an anti-bullying law. At that point, just requiring districts to have policies. And it went through a couple changes in the years since 2007 where it started dealing with online bullying, again, only requiring they have policies. What happened last year was, and other states have sort of caught up to New Jersey and even at that point had surpassed it, New Jersey instituted a law that Chris Christie signed quietly, but he did sign it, that not only requires they have policies, but requires they enforce those policies. And that may seem odd that you would think one would follow the other, but that wasn't necessarily the case, and put some very strict, right in the law, it's not even in the regulation, right in the law, some strict requirements on how that policy is to be carried out. And the more significant things are, I mean, they really, schools are now required to have a very strict timeline on dealing with credible evidence or witnessing bullying within the school, where they literally needs to be reported that day. Huh. It needs to be dealt with in 2 days. It has to be investigated within 10 days. I mean, there's, you know, very much like what would have been a violent incident or a fight, which obviously gets dealt with fairly quickly or should be. Bullying has been raised to that level.
Well, let's take a call from Michael, who is calling from South Plainfield, New Jersey, and I think speaks directly to that point. Michael, you're on WNYC with John Mooney.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been teaching for 8 years in New Jersey in middle school, and bullying is a very hot topic, and I went last week with other administrators to hear more about it from different lawyers and what needs to occur. One issue that came up, which I think needs to be discussed by many, is what's the difference between bullying and bad behavior among children? Because every instance of bullying needs to be reported and investigated, which is going to take a lot of manpower and hours. And so determining the difference between when a child just has some type of bad behavior versus bullying, intimidation or something is going to be very difficult for teachers.
And yeah, I mean, I think, Michael, we were at the same event, because I think that was there was a training last week in, I think it was in North Brunswick, and they did have a couple lawyers sitting up there talking about it, and that question was asked specifically.
And we were there together, yeah.
Yeah, and they said it was, you know, they admitted it was a tough call, and that, and certainly age-appropriate is an issue. I mean, certainly, you know, bad behavior in kindergarten, this was their response to it, you could have bad behavior in kindergarten that, you know, is just a kid acting out and not necessarily a bullying or an intimidation, but as they grow older, and the one lawyer was talking about, and this is a big case in New Jersey that happened out of Toms River, where there was a bullying of a kid and eventually went all the way up to Supreme Court. And that bullying started in fourth grade. And that,
yeah,
and the courts deemed that that was bullying and intimidation. So it's a fine line. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And that's going to be the challenge. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, focusing on, you know, personal issues and characteristics and issues of bias and racism and the like, and it's going to get very challenging, and schools are going to have to learn this stuff on the fly, and I'm sure they're going to find different definitions in different cases. I mean, and that's going to be something that the courts may be ending up dealing with as well. One of the different, second sort of tangible pieces of this new law is every school is going to have a point person to deal with this. Typically a guidance counselor, you know, a school assistance counselor, that kind of thing.
It sounds like Michael should be that person. I know that he received the Middle School Teacher of the Year Award at his school there. Michael, thank you very much for your call. John, I have to wrap it up, but I do need to ask you about Newark very quickly. What's happening there in terms of the relationship between Newark and the rest of the state government? I know there are some steps in terms of changing that relationship, or redefining it is probably a better way to put
it. Yeah, very quickly. The New Jersey took over. New Jersey was the first state in the country to take over schools that were deemed as mismanaged or failing or even corrupt. And starting in 1988, they did so with Jersey City. In 1995, they did so with Newark schools. And so it has been a state-operated district, which basically means they get to appoint the superintendent and have veto power over budgets and the like. And they have been for the last 15 years. And as the schools have slowly improved, the local community has pushed harder and harder to regain local control, to the point where they did pretty well on the state's own monitoring system in the last round, where they sort of met the thresholds on most of the categories, not instruction and test scores and the like, but some of the operational and budget ones. And they've been pushing, and the Christie administration has been quite forthright in saying, we're not ready to give it back, and we're not going to give it back. And so that has led to a tug-of-war of sorts. And what happened last week is the local advisory board, you know, the equivalent of a school board, voted to appeal that and, if not, take it up into the courts themselves. And what happened at the same time is the Education Commissioner Chris Cerf, formerly of New York City Schools, has put out a little bit of an olive branch saying, let's talk about this. So that's where, you know, and I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth. I think those appeals are going to go forward, but I think that the administration doesn't really want to have a big fight on their hands. As you know, Newark is a bit in the spotlight with the whole Mark Zuckerberg gift mm-hmm. to the district, and you know, they're going through a lot of changes. We have a mayor who's quite outspoken on some of this stuff. So I don't think they want some internal battle going on. But how they are able to diffuse that is yet to be seen.
Sounds like a segment of its own.
Oh, it's fascinating. It really is.
We'll have you back for that. John Mooney, education writer and co-founder of NJSpotlight.com. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Jamie.
And coming up next, a decade after the Human Genome Project, the fatal invention of race in medical science is still going strong. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Stay with us.